gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's time for the 500th episode of the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Woo!
Yay!
Hooray!
With your host.
With your salsa? Host.
There it is. Salsa!
James!
How many times have you done this? Point, as always?
I'm not sure. Is it 500?
I've done it that many times.
Rumor has it.
With special guests!
Brianna.
Eric.
Nathan.
Also known as the High Five Guys.
Right.
We have kidnapped the High Five Guys and made them participate.
Oh, no.
Man. Holy shit, guys. We did it.
Yeah. Yes.
Woo!
Yes, we have.
Only 500 more to go, Salsa.
I did it, that's for sure.
Yay.
So I marked the occasion. I'm wearing my AON Originals t-shirt.
I don't know if anybody can see that. That's right.
That's not a t-shirt. That is not a t-shirt. That is a polo, motherfucker.
I have been knighted. And we have issues. True.
We have
Hashtag issues. Knighted.
Yeah. I wore Dr. Pepper because I am the Universal Mixer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Speaking of Universal Mixers, what are we all drinking tonight?
Oh, aside from my cider?
Canned champagne.
Yep, because we are both classy and trailer trash.
I just want to point out I left the price tag on. Thank you.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Oh, same.
I have gone the trailer. Yeah. The even though I am drinking from a can, I did pour it into a very fancy glass.
Ooh. Oh, very nice.
Oh my. So, remember, Pinky's.
Yes.
Pinky's up.
This is Andre Brut, because James gave it to me, and he is such a brute. Fresh tasting with notes of pear and lemon. So.
Oh, mine is Brut Rosé, crisp with notes of cranberry and raspberry. Oh yeah, didn't you notice on
you
the packaging?
You have to pay attention to the color.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Salsa. I got the rosé.
Yeah, Jason.
So we we're having High Life. Yes, this is as High Life is the champagne of beer. So too, like the sand through an is this the beer of champagne?
Wow.
Yes, we've received several comments complimenting us on our 500th, congratulating us on our 500th episode. And also offering high fives from Troy to Troy to our special
Rachel's
guest.
Message.
So we are providing entertainment to Rachel as she is burning bar prep note cards. So that's good.
I mean, I came to offer my apologies on 500 episodes. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You had to tolerate each other that long.
No, that's not actually accurate. See, Salsa is the original, right? He's got the polo shirt.
Right.
It's a me.
I started podcasting and I did my first guest thing at episode 53.
So almost.
I have only had to tolerate Salsa for 447 episodes.
Oh, whereas I am New Coke.
Oh God! I'm
desirable.
Sorry.
Or Crystal Pepsi, which
that's
that one.
Yeah.
I feel like Jenna, you are getting dangerously in the realm of we're here to celebrate Salsa, and I'm not for it.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh yeah!
I'm gonna log off right now if that's what
you guys,
we're doing.
You guys, we're not
stream
here to celebrate
over,
Salsa.
Table flipped.
We are here to celebrate me because it's my birthday, bitches.
Also, yes,
there we go.
Yeah, and I was gonna wear a hat and didn't, and I was asking everybody else to wear hats, and I'm glad we all forgot that was a thing that I brought up. Wait, what? What?
Plus, I don't think we can wear hats with headphones on.
I just scattered things around my computer to put on as hats at various times throughout.
Yes!
I'm so excited to see this.
That seems apropos.
Stefan Senpai would like to say happy birthday, Jenna. And Sean Petre offers crystal gravy as an alternative for what,
crystal gravy
for what I might be.
Thick and smooth.
Oh,
lack of color.
There we go. I'm balancing whiskey on my head. It's my birthday.
Stefan Senpai stated that what should have happened was that Natty Ice should have been hidden around my apartment for me to find.
The most line on your head like it's your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Speaking of Jenna's birthday, we had a blast from the past come up when we were talking after the marathon. We were talking about and oh Salsa, do you happen to remember a double blind where you had to do a Schwarzenegger voice?
No, I don't know what you're talking about at all, Eric.
Salsa, do you know what would make me so happy for my birthday? Oh my God! Yes, actually.
That's a good gift.
So what else is people? Are you able? For
fuck's sake!
I'm not going to push it, but I'll leave that out there for other people to push.
Push all you want; it's not going to happen. But you can't force science and Schwarzenegger impression out of me.
I mean,
that's something only improv can do.
Anyway, what have people been up to?
Well, I did the movie marathon weekend for my birthday.
Yes, how did that go? Did you see all the movies?
Several people popped in throughout the course of the weekend. I had to limit the number of people I invited due to like streaming stuffs, whatever. Like I wanted to make sure that we didn't top out or anything like that. So, if you didn't get an invite, I'm sorry. I have almost 3,000 people on my Facebook friends list. Humble break, but, I couldn't invite everybody. So
name dropper.
I just dropped my own Facebook list. What? No, that sounds wrong. I did it wrong. What's
I think
going
she
on?
Was dropping Shit. Her own name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I can drop my own name
Jenna,
whenever I want.
If you're Jenna, dropping your own name is allowed.
Right? Does that create a paradox? Like something weird and cyclical? Does like time start erasing itself? Or
no, because if Jenna had relations with her own grandmother, it would not produce a baby.
I feel like you don't understand what name dropping is, James.
Oh, is it not time travel?
Is it? It is not. It is not becoming your own grandparent. That is not.
Oh, I've definitely been doing it wrong. Also, my grandparents are dead, so those things might be related.
So anyway,
I
we watched.
Think we're gonna have to warn
weekend.
Bryn what you're into.
God, no.
So anyway, watched movies all weekend. A lot of them had to do with time travel, actually. So well done. and yeah, it was great to have people in and out. There was a good, God damn it, James. There was a pretty good showing overall. And it was just super chill and casual. There were no expectations on people to join because it's the weekend long marathon. There was no, like, there weren't any lulls, really. Like, there was some passing time when, like, we're swapping movies. And I didn't expect exceptional conversation at, like, bloody ass early in the morning. So, you know, it was great. Like, but there were other times where we did just discuss some things before watching the next movie. And that was fun. I enjoyed it, so. And I hope other people did, too.
Bryn has said that it might explain last weekend if I did tell her about different fetishes. So there's that.
Or if you don't know what name dropping means, in that case.
Oh, yeah, that's clearly what she meant. And not that other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There was. No, go ahead.
No,
we're gonna
keep
pushing this one.
Oh, James.
I keep trying. So.
I believe you just described AON.
Oh, that's how we got to 500. We just keep trying.
We don't know when to quit. It's true.
Singing and screaming.
No.
Put on your shoes, kids.
We're at grandma's. But we did discover that, shockingly enough, there are things in the 80s that are dated. Yeah, certain movies that I remember loving. I'm like, ooh, that, ow.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like,
sexism and homophobia? Shit.
Wow.
Like what?
Yeah.
Beastmaster was shockingly bad.
Well, I feel like Beastmaster, by dint of the storyline, was already pretty, you know?
No, but like, seeing him show up at a spring with a woman swimming, and suddenly his animals are just accessories to him basically sexually assaulting her. And it's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there were things like in Big Trouble in Little China, when you get to the end, and they're like, aren't you going to kiss her goodbye? And he's just like, nope.
No.
And just walks away. And you're like, damn. Okay.
Like,
yeah, okay.
Good, I legitimately did not realize how rough Ghostbusters was going to be rewatching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the one that was a shocker for me. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it was a little bumpy, but like how bad it was from the get-go.
Like, he is just so, so disgusting as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he only finds a way not to be when he's being seduced by a demon in someone else's body. And he's like, maybe not. And it's like, okay. All right. You know,
this is what's supposed to redeem you.
Not after the last time. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a teachable moment.
And like when the shoe's on the other foot, like that's purely a situation where he's like, I'm not the man in this situation, so I'm out. I'm not interested anymore. It's kind of weird that they're kind of showing that already, and that of course doesn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. No. So that was sad. I already knew there were problems with Bill and Ted.
How?
There was a show last year, James. You helped me build a door for it. You helped me build a ramp for it.
Yeah.
Klingon?
God.
It has been over 20 years since I have seen Bill and Ted. I honestly don't remember anything about that movie. Like, what happened in there that you're referring to that doesn't age well?
I want Eric to do this one.
Oh, okay.
Well, because you had to analyze it to write Wilhelmina and Theodore's.
Yeah, so... One of the main glaring issues is that the only notable female characters, two of the notable female characters are there basically as prizes at the end.
Mm.
The princesses are there for them to be like, oh, look, we showed up in this medieval time. Let's go hit on these princesses.
Gotcha.
And then at the end, they bring the princesses forward in time to be like, well done, boys, here you go. And just like give them to them as prizes. And it's like, no.
I need to rewatch those movies. It's been
like, it would have been unsurprising if they had been in little plastic bags with water so that you could set them into a bowl and let the temperature change, you know, and
like this.
That they had arrived for, you know, knocking over
just
some milk bottles or something. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I got delivered McDonald's. I was very excited. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
I got a toy.
Yeah.
One that held up surprisingly well was Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
That is a good...
Yeah.
Have you read the book?
Well, I think...
I've not.
There's a book.
Yeah. It's based on... isn't it Who Censored Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, something like that. It is drastically different than the book. Yeah. The book is a lot more misogynistic. But it still has that noir element. So in the book, Roger has already been killed. But you discover
that... I'm told very quickly by Troy Detroit that Bree is in fact eating Eric Thompson fries.
God damn it, Troy.
I want to hear what Salsa's talking about.
Roger has already died. And what you discover is Toons, through the magic of being Toons, are able to create like projections of themselves that can go and do other things, but those projections have a shelf life. They only last a few days before they fade away into nothing. And so what it is it's Eddie and Roger's like projection trying to figure out who killed Roger Rabbit before Roger is no longer able to help. And so it's lot more dark in that respect because it's not going to have a happy ending for Roger, that's for sure, because he gone, he dead. But just things like the relationship with Jessica and some of the other things going on are just it's a bit more dark, a bit more noir. You know, obviously for the movie they really jazzed it up and made it happier and cartoonier. But the book is actually kind of a fun read. I recommend it.
Like there are so many beautiful moments that really made a lot of us just kind of look at each other and be like, yeah, that explains us so much. Like when they're both stuck in the handcuffs and he's trying to saw his way out and Roger pulls his hand out to steady the table he's sawing on. And he's like, and Eddie's like, wait, you mean you could have gotten out of those handcuffs this whole time? And he said, no, only when it was funny.
It's such a fucking great line.
It explains all of us at Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
really
excited every time I said die lap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That that movie Clue and a few others definitely were very important to my sense of humor.
This explains a lot.
Muppet Caper.
Yeah.
Is a big one. Yeah.
I can see that you.
Kermit shaving and just like you're watching him, he's talking to Fozzie, they're, you know, both getting ready, all of that stuff, and he's shaving and shaving, and then he goes, you know, I wish I had whiskers so that I could use a blade. And that's just like fucking amazing. And is 100% my sense of humor.
Just this moment of just kind of breaking the fourth wall for just a second, very subtly.
No, he was just using the empty handle because a safety razor, it would pinch the razor blade. So he was just dragging the empty handle across his face to clear the foam.
But what? There was no... Why?
Because it's funny.
And it was that's what that, you do. It was in that moment that James decided to grow a beard.
You're not entirely...
How old were you?
Four.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I was definitely the mustache kid in sixth grade, so
that story checked out. To be fair, Joe's the mustache kid now. So.
But that's just his cowboy name.
You should see when he gets the little. Okay, anyway.
It was also fun just having like the chat going the whole time because Jenna had a great setup. Whenever a movie was starting, you muted everybody and they couldn't unmute, so no one talking over the movie or whatever. And you're able to bullshit as much
movie.
Right. And then like beautiful moments like Eddie Valiant stopping and looking at the bottle he was about to drink from and then just pours it out and seeing James type no. You're like, okay.
I wish I could take credit for it, but I don't think that one was me. I definitely added a lot to Beastmaster. That was the one that I hit hardest. Oh. I just had that one on the ropes. Just like a comment every 5 seconds. Because
so what you're saying is you MST3K'd the shit out of that and you didn't record it? You're a failure, James.
I mean, it was all in text.
Yeah.
I mean...
But he's still a failure. That doesn't change anything.
No.
It was my setup.
And the text doesn't get saved.
Oh, sorry.
James is still a failure.
So Jenna is the failure. Because it was her setup.
Oh. That's impossible.
James is the failure. That's how this works.
Happy birthday, Jenna. We've gotten you a new enemy.
Failure? Thank you.
Even though it's the same as your old enemy. Eric Thompson. Curse the French. Bark, 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 bark.
Sigh. What did you do, James? Oh, sorry. You were not. Were you done, Jenna?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Also, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
Woo. I drink a champagne.
Just say that every once in a while. Woo.
Important to me that. It's extremely important to me that we
James
do not
just
have
did time
any...
travel.
Yeah. He did. I saw it too.
Yeah. It's extremely okay, important to me that crazy. We do no visual jokes during this episode. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Just don't.
Can we do audio jokes on a visual podcast?
Everybody mute. We're gonna try.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm stuck in a box. Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Oh, James, what did you do? Please, Christ, what did you do?
I
please
did
stop mining.
Ton of work putting the apartment together to make it more like home and a place of comfort. Jenna was probably watching me do that throughout much of the movie marathon, or like casually occasionally.
Oh, I don't pay attention
me,
to
like,
you.
Moving shelves around and putting things away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. It was necessary. Having a screen that is attached to an arm on my desk, or like on the wall above my desk instead of on a stand that's on the surface of the desk is great. I will tell you that it is fantastique.
You don't realize how much you appreciate that, like, real estate, that desk real estate, until you finally have it again. I definitely can. I feel you there 100%.
Jason, you have 3 monitors.
Well, no, not anymore, but...
I have more monitors than you now?
Active monitors, probably. Actually, that's probably not accurate either.
Yeah.
I have 5 screens on, usually, at once.
They're all doing different things. That's the difference.
Three of them are work screens. Right. One of them is the TV, and one of them is my laptop.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm there with Salsa. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have
my phone plus my tablet. Yes.
I have both my work laptops, one from my client and then mine. I have an ultra wide monitor, so it's pretty much 2 of them. And then I have the TV, and then I have my gaming rig right next to me. So I'm in the same ballpark as you guys.
Okay. I would absolutely love to have one of those ultra wides.
I feel like I'm the failure in this scenario, or maybe just the slacker.
I feel like perhaps you're the winner, and the rest of us are
right.
Oh yeah, this is a multitasking nightmare.
Yeah, you can invest more and
hold
be
on.
A failure.
This is for Dennis, just for you, Dennis. Aww. Just for you.
Aww. Kitten.
I'm allergic.
See, I would hold up
for you, Kodak, Jenna. Only for Dennis.
Get the cat away from the screen, Jenna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kodak has become wise to whenever I'm talking to my computer without other people around, he keeps his distance. He's like, oh, I know what happened.
Learned that lesson.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. We watched a lot of movies that were super important to me as a kid, and being able to pick them apart from a new perspective was really awesome.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of screens, one of my coworkers who has to go into the office every day because he's physically assembling laptops for people, mm-hmm. has taken five other screens and assembled them into a Death Star of sorts, like a battle station.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah!
Buddy.
Hey, Codex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
How's corgi life treating you?
He's not happy.
He's filled with
Look
ennui.
At those tongue hugs. Such good tongue hugs.
Yeah, like Tritotroy says, it's kind of a screen Voltron.
He's doing time travel again.
Yeah, he did it. He did it.
He did it. Oh. Okay.
I love how he did it right when he said Voltron.
Yeah, that was right at the right moment.
Beautiful.
Anyway. So there's that.
Hey, Hisalsa.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
What did I do this weekend? My weekend was my daughter started hockey again. I know, right? This is her third year in hockey, and that means she's gone up to the next tier. Like the past 2 years, she was in the like intro beginner 6 and under tier. This year, she's in the 8 and under tier, which means the price tag has gone up like times 3.
Oh, I believe it.
We are already getting into expensive hockey price tags for various things, and thank goodness she's not a goalie. But
then it would be all that stuff and teeth.
Oh, also, but I mean, just the goalie pads are so expensive. Because of the, you know, COVID, it's a lot different this year because I can't be there to watch practice. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, I drop her off, you know, I get her ready, and then I sit in the bleachers and I watch, you know, until she's done. We can't do that anymore. The rules are that you're allowed to enter the gym or the arena or ice, whatever you want to call it, 10 minutes before practice.
The ice floor house.
Yes, the ice floor house. So 10 minutes before, you're allowed to go in, get your, you know, kids geared up, and then you got to fuck off. Bye. And you're allowed in 5 minutes before practice ends. Otherwise, you got to leave. And so I haven't been able to watch practice anymore. And so all I see of her is the last 5 minutes of practice when I come in. And even that 5 minutes has been amazing because she's just gotten so much better than she was. Like, I mean, that's obvious, you get better than you were, but just... Mm-hmm. Just even from last year, you know, the first practice this year versus the last practice last year, she's taller, she's more gangly and more person shaped, and like just the way she skates and her personality on the ice, you know, like very, very first practice on Saturday, I go in 5 minutes before, practice ends and they're doing scrimmages and I watch her score a goal and I'm just like, who the fuck is that kid? Like, what the hell? Because
I love this. There's go ahead.
just because at the end of last year, she couldn't focus long enough to do anything. She would just skate around and the puck would go right past her and she would be looking over there. And this time she was just at it and she was on it and she was like, this is mine and I'm going to do the thing. It's just like, holy crap. Jenna.
There is a beautiful moment that happens with every child as they're developing, right? Where they go from being this little glob of not understanding and Jesus Christ, would you just do what I say? And like barely walking, barely, you know, understanding that there's a world outside of them, the pre external awareness. And then that moment where they start to be like, oh shit, there's things that exist outside of me. Right. There's like this thing that happens, and it usually happens like I'm gonna say around 6, 7, 8 is when that just kind of crossover
happens. Yeah,
like kids generally. Jessa did it when she was 2 because she's ridiculous, like she was just born a 40-year-old woman, like, and that's kind of what I mean, is she was always aware of the world around her being not a part of, you know. But like, it's still this beautiful moment when you're like, oh shit, you're no longer this self-contained thing. You're a person that is learning to navigate the world as a person, as opposed to navigating the world as a self-focused blob.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say it better than that. Like, obviously children are way, that they're not just blobs.
It wasn't exactly a TED talk, but you definitely got your point across.
Now, none of this advancement, I should let the listeners know, none of this advancement stopped Salsa's 2 children from explaining to me several of their favorite parts from the movie Frozen 2 today when I went to drop off beverages.
He was here for like 4 minutes and they all read just boom.
Yep. Yep, the entire movie. They almost completely reenacted.
If there's any parts that they missed, I'm glad to help them out. Like, it's a really, honestly, like, I could sing you some of the songs. Like, they'll back me up.
And they had experience. They had time to argue between themselves about which part they were talking about.
I'm just imagining Salsa being like, James will be here in a minute. He wants to know about Frozen.
No, I wore a mask that had Olaf on it because he's one of my favorite characters from Frozen. And
that's adorable.
And so Asher, I think, was the first to notice, and he was like, "You like Olaf?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he just like move.
So what you're trying to do in front of some lions wearing an injured antelope mask.
Right, wearing, Lady Gaga's meat dress, yes. So,
okay, wait, so, no, this is a very important thing. Was it Frozen or Frozen 2?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the mask? Anything,
yeah, we missed the answer.
Yeah, we missed the answer. You blipped out for just long enough.
It was stop Frozen 2.
Okay. Okay.
They were talking about the songs and that they love the scene in the woods. And I'm like, the thing is, the joy of having them just like machine gun me with their favorite lines and experiences from that movie while I'm also in my head reliving that movie.
Yep.
It was wonderful, but
okay, so you said the scene in the woods and you realize the majority of Frozen and Frozen 2 take place in the woods.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just checking.
That was their favorite part.
Have you all seen the documentary about the making of that movie?
Yeah.
No.
It is fantastic. If you have Disney Plus, it's on there. It is amazing. It's like a 6-episode documentary going through the process of them making Frozen 2. And it is so fucking good. Obviously, I'm the kind of person who likes to know how the meat is made. It's what my other podcast is about. And that's all this is behind the scenes, like how it's being made. And they talk to animators and they've got like an animator who's like, I just spent 6 months on or 6 weeks on this scene and now it's being cut. And that's part of the job.
Yeah. What's your other podcast also?
as if you didn't know. I was going to plug it at the end, but since you bring it up, Curtains Unfurled, The Craft of Creating Art. It is all about the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts of the creative process. It's got two episodes out, and the first one features some asshole named, you know, Eric Thompson.
So your mother-in-law, Salsa, has asked, how was Chipper?
Oh, it was amazing. So I'm actually getting to that. I will get to Chipper as soon as...
Okay,
so the other thing that we did this weekend is aggressive pruning of our bushes in the backyard. We have... our backyard is small. We have a small backyard. It is very long and very narrow. And there are three lilac bushes near our back door, and those lilac bushes have been overgrown since before we moved in, and we just have never had the time to deal with it. So though, just those lilac bushes, and they take up, not exaggerating, half the width of the backyard. Our already small, narrow backyard is a lot narrower. And we're just like, well, we're not doing Fest, and it's a weekend, so let's do this. So we aggressively pruned those back down to about, like, there is nothing higher than my eyeball right now on those bushes. The whole thing is trimmed back. And we also, while we were doing that, there was a maple tree that was too close to the retaining wall in our backyard. So it was going to start damaging that retaining wall if we didn't do something about it. So while we were at it, we took down the maple tree. So our backyard went from maple tree, three lilac bushes to fucking nothing. And there is so much room in our backyard. It is amazing. But that also meant we had a shit ton of foliage to deal with.
Spacious and, barren wasteland.
I know. but we had two piles of tree, basically. We had the maple in one pile and all of the lilac in the other pile. And both piles were roughly the same size. And so Saturday, it took my wife, myself, and both kids all working to break down this pile and put it into 10 of those compost bags that you put out on the, you know, those big... Mm-hmm. paper bags for the city to come and take away. So many, many hours of work. And then we woke up on Sunday and my wife says, I just discovered that my mother-in-law has a wood chipper. And yeah, exactly. We're like, both. And
no more enemies, so it's not a new.
it's Raider Lee's uncle's wood chipper, but it is at my mother-in-law's house. And so we're like, call her up. Can we borrow the wood chipper? Yes, we can. Awesome! We got the wood chipper back to our house. And like 2 hours later, just my wife and I had the entire maple processed and gone into two bags.
Very nice.
Okay, so 3 weeks ago, you went to your mother-in-law's to steal a bunch of apples.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, you went to your mother-in-law's to steal a bunch of apples and pears.
Yes.
And then last more than weekend, 2 weeks. You went to your mother-in-law's.
Four and three. I'd say four and three.
I was about to say, so basically you go to your mother-in-law's to steal stuff.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just clarifying.
Is it cumulative? So it was apples, then apples and pears, and then apples, pears, and a wood chipper? Are we going to get a song out of this?
Ooh, I hope so.
It's what church bells play locally. Mm-hmm. Apples, pears, and chippers say St. Mabel and St.
Are we allowed
it's to the 12 days of Salsa's Yard.
Can we mute James? Is that a possibility? Is that a thing? So anyway,
the problem is that James is running the tech. So I think James is
You can still run the tech while being muted.
No, but if he keeps time traveling, he might, you know,
mute himself. Mute
himself accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you all to know the sacrifice that I'm making right now because I'm not going to eat on this podcast. Yet my wife just surprised me by bringing home Taco Bell.
So. Why are you not going to eat? I ate McDonald's.
She's been out photographing pets at secondhand hounds. Playing with rescue animals. So I
hired his wife in the background.
She did have tremendous self control because usually when she comes back from the rescue, she bursts through the door and walks up and shoves a phone in my face and says, "Look at this dog." It's always some cute tiny thing that's up for adoption. So
I feel like the show notes need evidence.
She actually did something on her Facebook the other day that was post cat or dog, and then she replied with a pet that she had photographed to whatever you said.
I saw that. Yeah. I finished my first champagne, so I am opening another one.
But we haven't done another 500.
This is. I've been.
No, it's all that time traveling.
I'm having another. This is La Marca Prosecco in a wee bottle.
Ooh.
So, figured anybody, you know, might want to know that.
Anyone keeping track.
Bryn is threatening to show me more snakes that are for sale, which is, I think, the shortcut to having a bunch more snakes. So I'm going to take some free time here after the show to speak with Merit.
Okay.
No, to speak with Merit so that I have backup. Friend of the show, Merit,
yes.
So that I have backup.
I'm getting more snakes?
No.
By the way, I should point out that Troy to Troy helpfully said, keep your lilac bushes at the level of your eyes.
Mm-hmm. And then Mud Stuffin
said, no more 70s lilac bush. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good joke.
A delicate man.
I felt like I was being good at not making any comments or any laughing or anything when Salsa was talking about trimming very large bushes.
No, I was just in from the absolute beginning.
See, for me, it just fell apart when you were talking about trimming three bushes.
Right.
In the backyard. First of all, you had to go out the back door to get to the bush. And it needed a trim.
Those are not the quickest directions, Salsa. You
know, now that Salsa's installed that drain, it's not quite as muddy back there.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for helping, James.
So, high five, guys. Y'all have been, like, doing this sabbatical thing for a while, right? What have you guys been up to? We have plenty of crossover listeners.
That's good.
So,
that's true.
Yeah, look at me diverting the conversation.
Sorry, I'm re-diverting for just
away
a second.
Away from Salsa's bush?
La Marca Prosecco. highly recommended. Shit, that's good. All right, go ahead now. It's got like a honey aftertaste. Crisp apple notes.
Bree, you want to tackle it first?
No.
Fair enough.
No, I didn't know.
I mean, I will. I have been knitting. That is what I've been doing. I have been knitting and spending a lot of time working with comedians across over in the UK, doing this community support knitting and amusement stream. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. But my theater is still on mostly suspended work because we are planning on being one of the last ones to open our doors again. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of a weird time figuring all of that out. And it has given me a lot of time to craft and knit and watch TV shows. Yes.
Another thing that Brian had done, which I don't know if you've been on because I honestly, being at home, don't listen to podcasts anymore. Brie and I taught Academy over the summer.
Which was really weird. Mm-hmm. I have honestly forgot how much time has passed because it blurs together doing the same things.
That's fair.
It was really cool each weekend coming together with Brie and Fudd and trying to figure out how do we teach this fundamental thing about street performing that we normally teach when you're within 2 feet of the person, but now do it with masks and safely socially distanced.
Yeah, teaching how to connect from 8 feet away. Which honestly,
when you can only see from like here up.
And honestly, a lot of the skills are things that I think all of the performers that come back like next year or performers that we teach in the future are going to benefit from learning how to do what we taught this year.
Oh, yeah.
In addition to what we've taught in the past.
Every single one of those is going to learn how to communicate with their eyes better than anyone out there.
I mean, eyes, honestly, body, us just sitting there trying to figure it out, you know, like sitting there and going, how the hell do we do this? And then talking and coming up with some exercise. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of my, and Brie and I have both talked about this in the past. One of my favorite things about teaching is being able to get that different perspective as other people learn. So you can like experience someone trying to figure things out, which then deepens your knowledge and understanding of a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The best way to learn is to teach. Yeah.
And that was weird and fun.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, so many improv games involve purposefully handicapping yourself in some way, shape, or form. So, I mean, it's everybody that has gone through this academy it basically went through a fucking clinic on that, you know?
As a side note, Eric, that does not give you permission to continue jumping off the stage and ruining your knees. That is not what Salsa is talking about.
I love how I'm the one that you're trying to stop doing things.
It doesn't necessarily mean you have to stop either.
No, I was about to say, I think James realizes that he cannot stop Brie.
Well, and I'm amused that Eric does it to prevent me from doing it.
And in particular, there is no stopping Brie, one, in a puppet.
Ever.
There is, but you have to know how.
Oh, God.
We lost James.
With
James
Poppy.
There's a puppet. Oh, God.
Eric is going to.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hello, Shirley.
Yeah. Sean Pitre says, I'm a Cub Scout leader and learning how to teach kids ages 8 to 11 scouting skills these last few weeks has been challenging but rewarding.
No, with Brie, you have to redirect. You have to deflect and redirect.
Right.
You aim. It's not Brie, it's Shirley. You aim Shirley in a safer direction.
I mean, it's not entirely untrue for Brie as well. But.
Like collateral damage versus targeted damage.
Yeah, it's indirect damage. It's a like James's comedy is targeted. Breeze is area of effect. Yes.
I feel like damage over time. With Bree is analyzing the situation and realizing, okay, a puppet is going to jump rope. Which puppet is the least amount of damage?
Stefan Senpai has said splash damage, but I really feel like that's more cabbage. Or muck when Mercedes was muck.
That was literal.
There was a lot of that. The chat is also discussing Cub Scouts and therefore the Pinewood Derby. And
comedy Aikido.
That's no idea what that is.
Ultra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never even Pinewood Derby to that trophy.
And now,
oh god!
Now they're making
not on camera.
Well, looks like we're banned. All right.
Again, are we allowed to mute other people? Can we do that? James, you said you were going to be talking less because you were going to be watching the stream.
This is James talking less.
Well, for God's sake, somebody tell us what they've been doing.
Come on, high five.
But yeah, I've been...
Academy.
Yeah, we did Academy. Been having fun with that. James has actually been joining me in the knitting stream that I've been participating with. So if anyone is on Twitch and wants to watch Kai Muggins, I've been helping him out. He's a comedian from the UK. And at 6 a.m. most Tuesdays and Fridays, our time would be noon UK time. He does a really fun, just little like stream where sometimes he knits, sometimes he talks about the world. And we've been joining the community. Yes. Yes. He does make angry hats and he gives superpowers. It makes sense. I promise.
Well, since I have to be up at 6, maybe that would be a way to get me out of bed.
Yeah. It's pretty great for that.
Part of your morning routine.
It's kind of become part of my morning routine.
Best part of waking up is a UK comedian in your Twitch stream.
I had a date like that once.
Yep, that sounds right.
Yeah, that story checks out.
But we ended up on this really fun Discord channel with a bunch of people from around the world, and now we're doing Zoom chats and knitting challenges and ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm. For the first time, I was going at the same time, which is...
Hello, time travel, James.
Oh. I said, for the first time in my life, I have two knitting projects going at the same time, which is not something that's ever happened before. And that is thanks to the encouragement of Bree and the stream.
Do you find that you get yourself lost? Like, due to the fact that you have two projects, is there one project that you prefer to do more than the other? Or do you just enjoy, like the routine and the process?
Well, Mr. Six Screens.
You're not a crafter, are you?
So I have three projects going right now, knitting projects. I have other projects, but I have three knitting projects. Yeah. And I just had to explain this to somebody. I have one knitting project that is super easy. I have to go for like 48 rows that's just knitting. Like super basic. I can do it while doing anything else and it's boring as fuck. Then I have one where I have to count pattern every 16 stitches and it's an insanely complex pattern over like 200 stitches long. And if I lose track, I have to start from the beginning and figure out where I am in this pattern. So I can't do anything else while I'm working on it. And then I have the in-between one where it's only 28 stitches across because it's a sock. But it's got a little bit of pattern in it, so I can sit there and watch TV and work on it and not be bored. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a variety. It's not that I like any one of them better than the others. Each has its purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like I'm currently reading a stack of like four books.
Mm-hmm.
And... It's not very different from that. Like they all have a different time and place and mood and benefit. So
right, yeah. And depending on how you feel, you may gravitate towards one book or the other. Yeah, that makes. I get that.
Church or Troy says, one time my wife came home to me knitting a scarf while watching What Not to Wear. I never felt more masculine. The thing is, one, we define what is masculine if we feel masculine. Two, the whole Kai Humphreys, Kai Muggins, and Daniel Schloss knitting challenge was them combating their toxic masculinity while also indulging their competitive, like...
Mm-hmm.
dude broiness simultaneously finding a way to express their themselves while also eschewing the traditional gross.
Basically, they got drunk and they decided I can do anything better than you and challenged each other to learn how to knit and then ended up falling in love with the art of knitting. And rather than want to present the better sweater, they were just so excited to present what they made to each other. That's where this stream came out of.
I would like to interject here that we have lost Jenna. Repeat, we have lost Jenna.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not that we don't like her. It is still her podcast. But
oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
I figured James could work on that, and I just keep on blabbering.
I am.
Side note really quick. We have a message from somebody that I've never met before, someone named Raiderly, saying, ask Salsa how many wood-turning projects he has right now.
Yeah, no, that was...
Yes, also tell us about your wood. Thank you, Troy.
That's kind of what I had in mind. I currently have, let me see, what do I have? So, specifically turning or just wood projects in general? Okay, we'll just go with turning. I have three bowls, two pencil cups, no, four bowls, two pencil cups, a pair of goblets from the maple tree that I took down on Saturday. I actually took the trunk of the maple tree that I downed on Saturday, and I'm turning that into a pair of goblets. So those are the what else? Oh, I've got the center stand for a table I'm building, the center pedestal. I'm turning that. That's not to mention the tabletop, which I'm making completely out of a black walnut tree that came from my mother-in-law's backyard. Yes, I took more stuff from my mother-in-law. What are you going to do?
We'll add it to the stack.
No, she was like, yes, here's a black walnut that has come down in my backyard. Fucking have some. And so I'm making a table out of that. So,
hey, Raiderly.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 turning, just turning projects at the moment. I've got another one that is still a log sitting next to my garage that is not yet a turning project, but will quickly become a turning project as soon as the batteries recharge on my saw.
I think that's still a turning project, but it's okay. Like a ball of yarn. You have plans.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Raiderly, I will try to get him to take up knitting. I've already taught James to do it through Zoom. I taught someone in the UK to do it through Zoom. I will try.
Troy is right. I'd try to swallow the knitting needles.
But also, has added into chat that Jenna was not the imposter. One imposter remains.
That is nice. No, actually, Troy, that is actually a thing that I wanted to do at Fest, is I wanted to get a pair of knitting needles and put them on a paper plate and bring them into the one of the food areas at Fest. And just sit down with my little paper plate with knitting needles on it and sit down and be, oh, wait, excuse me, is this seat taken? And just sit down and then take the knitting needles and swallow them and just see what people do.
Are you going to have like a string to pull them back out?
No.
How far down are they going? Because they don't have a big bulb on the end that's going to be easy to...
I've swallowed chopsticks before.
How do you get it out?
I don't let go.
Yeah, it's not Rose on a door.
I don't trust him.
You shouldn't.
No.
Fair enough.
No.
Speaking of projects, I actually picked up stuff to start a project that I've wanted to do for a long time and I've thought about for a long time, but just never really pulled the trigger on starting it. So I picked up some resin, and I'm going to start trying to do some casts. So
nice.
So I was looking at some stuff about encasing certain things, like preserving them in resin. Picked up some molds to make some things like coasters or like little gems or things like that. And I'm just starting to poke around with it. I'm in the fun phase that's like I'm just playing around with the ideas and about to put it into the let's see what happens kind of mode.
Yeah.
So I have a handful of things that I want to do, and I fully expect them to probably turn out poorly. But I'm looking forward to it. Go on.
Excellent.
I actually have another turning project that I forgot to mention. What I wanted to do is encase like hops and barley and things like that in resin and turn them into tap handles for my laboratory.
I saw a video the other day of somebody encasing colored pencils in resin and then turning that.
I've seen a lot of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw somebody make a bowl out of that, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, no, but I wanted to do is the actual grains that I use to brew something, and encase those in resin, and then make tap handles out of those.
So there's a show on Netflix that has one season currently called The Big Flower Fight, and it is basically they got people who have varying levels of skill and involvement as far as like dealing with plants and flowers.
Like some of them are
people who do like. Go ahead.
Some of them are like wedding flower, like they use cut stuff. Some of them do bouquets that are like still live. Some of them are just gardeners. Some of them are sculptors or artists and haven't actually had the design in flowers, but do it with other kinds of things. So all kinds of different levels of design skill.
And they put them to different projects, like you are creating this 8-foot insect with the goal of having pollinators. And they just have to fucking figure it out. And the challenges are all ridiculous and way over the top, but it's really cool. And there's some good representation. There's some really interesting episodes. There's a father-son pair, which in one of the later episodes deals with the son struggles with anxiety in a really cool way.
They're so adorable.
And they really connect, and that it's a cool show. It is a very easy watch. I would say go watch it. But in one of the episodes, there are these two guys who create a what they've dubbed as an infinity mirror. So it's basically like on one side of this like cylinder, they have a regular mirror, and on the other side, they have a two-way mirror. So basically you can see into it, but because there's light on the inside, it's reflective. So once you see into it, you get kind of that effect of like standing between two mirrors and just seeing yourself reflected infinitely. But you can't see yourself. You can only see what's in that cylinder, the flowers that they hung in there reflected infinitely. So I'm playing around with the idea of doing that with like encasing things in resin and seeing if I can coat it with something reflective. Cool. See what happens. So
we're going to interrupt. We have a Jenna back.
We do.
Yay!
Jenna.
No idea what happened.
You're just cool for this world.
Yay, Jenna! Hi.
Sure. It's my birthday.
It really is, Jenna.
Yeah. That's anyway. Yes.
I feel like it's a an excellent time to break open the scotch.
I'm almost done with my second bottle of champagne here.
Oh this my!
Scotch? Maybe I should slow down.
No scotch.
For why? Are you driving home later, or what's the?
No, but I do need to keep my skin nice and moist because, as a matter of fact, tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, three out of the six of us are going to have a brand new tattoo upon our bodies.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we need to make sure that we do not consume alcohol the day before. Oops. and
well, because James doesn't have a tattoo yet.
Yep.
I get it.
But James and myself and Bree will be all traversing across the cities to get a tattoo tomorrow of the word yet. This coming from the last fall's challenge.
Spring.
Oh, spring. No, okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was spring.
It was 5 years ago.
This the last 6 months has been 10 years long. I don't fucking know when we are anymore.
Four score. And
right, this spring's Die Laughing Challenge was that the three of us would get a tattoo, and then Die Laughing didn't happen, and then tattoo parlors closed. But we are about to cash in because we did hit our goal, and all three of us are going to get that tattoo, and that happens tomorrow. Episode 500, we're announcing that it is going to happen, and then episode 501, it will be done.
Yay!
Thank.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That is very exciting.
It is.
I'm so fucking pumped for this.
To help Jenna keep things on the rails, because I know she's going to do that again.
do what, huh?
First, James, also, someone cheers.
Some lawn chairs. Oh, were we emptying them? I didn't know.
I'm not.
I was just going to sip casually. I mean,
you do you. I have more.
Always money in the bank.
Since we're talking about things that we've been doing, one of the other things that I did lately is cooking more. I actually reached out on Facebook and was like, I'm going to make a fuck ton of chicken noodle soup. Who wants soup? Mm-hmm. So I spent yesterday popping around to see friends to sell some soup and pass that around. And I got to spend all of... Yay. I got to spend all of today getting messages from people eating soup and telling me how incredible it was.
Did you show up to anybody's house and be like, soup for you?
I did not. Breeze was probably the closest.
You're just like, soup!
But it's also the farthest away.
That's true.
Mm. Troy to Troy says he is very jealous of your soup deliveries, by the way.
Aww.
I'm sorry, Troy, I can't get it that far.
That's the main reason I stay off Facebook, so that way Eric doesn't make me hungry when he posts pictures.
But you could have had soup.
I could have had soup, but if he ran out before he got to my house, then I would have no soup.
Not like I'm eating it on
no
the
soup for you!
It's entirely possible.
I've just got to throw this in your place. Before I'm out, I'll pour some in a bowl for you.
If Eric consumes soup at a rate of a quarter of a liter per 25 miles and
a train leaves Chicago, and there's a crosswind at from the south-southeast at 5 miles. Oh, yeah. All right. By the way, Eric, Bryn had mentioned Bryn that
messaged,
the soup was very
messaged
good.
Me as well.
So thank you.
So I was really happy. It was nice good. To get messages from people kind of saying that I made their day. And that, especially right now, that's a real nice kind of pick-me-up. Beyond that, I will add that, Salsa, I will see what you are drinking and raise you a larger bottle.
Yeah,
This is Villa Yolanda, a Moscato with passion fruit. And for being a Moscato, it is not overly sweet. Very smooth and well-balanced. Oh. Mm. So, one of my favorites.
I like a Moscato. I like a sweet champagne. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be arid.
It's sparkling, and it's sweet enough. It's not overly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do like
bubbly syrup. There's
a point, yeah. There's a point where it gets there, and I'm still marginally okay with that.
As a person who drank Orbitz in the late 90s, you?
Yeah, no, when it comes to booze, I have a bit of a sweet tooth. I like my cider sweet. I like my mead sweet. I like my wine sweet.
I agree, except there is, for whatever reason, a place for me for a red that is ridiculously dry.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do it.
Not a mead thing.
Like a Zin or a Grenache or something very robust and fruity. I can't do it. Like a Cab or something like that. I can't do it.
Like a Marquette.
It's a mood thing.
Yeah, even the brut champagne that James brought over was just like, I'm doing an extra dry right now, and that's really reasonable.
See, I would.
You should really spit on it first.
I would probably like that one.
This La Marca Prosecco is I'm enjoying it a great deal. It has lemon and apple notes, and it's almost like a sparkling cider. It's really
that's probably too sweet.
It's really good.
The trick for me drinking with Brie is Brie doesn't do reds, and Brie doesn't do sweet because both make her feel not well.
Oh,
so. We find other things that are somewhere in there, which usually means it ends up being like a peaty scotch or something like that. Not peaty. You don't like peaty. That's right.
So you don't like anything good.
Rude. Salsa Sterling. We have guests on our podcast. You just insult them like
I like plenty good.
This is our guest.
Yeah. I'd be good with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing good, Salsa.
I can't see you, so I don't know what you're holding.
You can't see me?
No, I actually can't. I cannot see Jenna, and I cannot see Brie right now.
You can't too many see colors. Me.
Yeah, no, the visible spectrum of light is my problem.
I was holding up a bottle of Glenlivet Founder's Reserve.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly not making any gestures at you while you can.
Do we have a Jenna around? Can Jenna hear us?
Jenna is around and can hear us.
Can she say anything? I haven't heard her voice in a while.
Are you?
She is saying, really? This sounds like a problem.
Yeah, wait. I think this is a Salsa problem.
Has she been talking?
I haven't heard her voice. Oh my god, this is the best.
I mean, not hearing her is not a problem for me.
So many things behind his back, and he doesn't even know, because I can hear everything he can hear. I can hear everything he can hear. He can hear nothing. I can. Oh, you son of a bitch, anyway, I've got 500 episodes. We are all on
slightly different pages, apparently.
I'm just going to watch this on one train wreck.
She can hear you, by the way.
Yes, I know she can. I'm well aware of that fact.
And as usual, you're interrupting her, so really nothing is changed.
If you think I'm afraid of saying things in front of Jenna, you don't know me very well.
No, I don't think any of us are...
That's not the concern.
I mean, honestly, I am, but that's because I have common sense.
Well, no, because you're in separate houses right now.
Also true.
Kind of.
Also, I can't hear her, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, man, I've got so much time to get caught up on.
Most problems are Salsa problems.
10 years.
Your timing is...
somebody else say something really interesting. I'm going to try logging out.
Somebody is saying something interesting right now. I'm party to it, friend.
Well, fuck. I'm going to log out and log back in and see if that doesn't fix it.
My favorite part is...
I like this.
My favorite part is watching his podcaster instinct when we're all sitting here listening to Jenna talk. And all.
No, I love it. I love it so much.
He's like, okay, so I'm just going to talk to Phil via silence. And we're like, Jenna's talking.
Oh, my God. And, I bitched about his timing because it was the first insulting thing I could think of. But he's actually pretty good at timing. What he's often bad at, which is hilarious to me that he decided he was going to be good at it this time, is filling empty silence. wherein he was like, because often I'll ask him a question that's a yes or no question, and I'll be like, yep. And then there's no further anything on that.
I hear Jenna!
And you would think after 500 fucking episodes he could get his goddamn shit together. Oh, hi, Carl.
I don't know how long this has been going on, but I legitimately have not been able to hear you ever since you dropped out.
So oh you remember God, when I was talking hilarious. About the flower Although show? It that's a when lot. She popped in.
I'm so sorry.
So yes,
I thought you were just
correct.
Ignoring me like a man.
But no,
like,
I am.
You can hear me though, right?
Yes, I can hear all of you now. I am so embarrassed.
So it wasn't just a man-woman thing.
I am so embarrassed. If I have been talking over you, I am so sorry.
Honestly,
oh, you have been.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Yeah, you have been, and I just assumed it was you talking over me like you sometimes right. do. Like, I had no idea that you could not hear the thing.
So when it comes down to it, this is a salsa problem, apparently.
Oh, man.
Salsa.
I am
salsa.
So embarrassed.
You know what I've been saying for the past 447 episodes?
No, he doesn't, because he was talking to me. but Troy, you are correct that Jason has not talked about what he's been up to.
Yes.
Yep.
I did want to get to that.
Uh-huh. So what I've been up to during COVID time, just to lightly tap on part of it, is I've kind of been dealing with self-care stuff. I come from a conservative family, and that's really tough right now. Trying to figure out, like, are they good people? Like that, type of thing.
I've had some talks about that.
Yeah. And it's not enjoyable. It's led to me trying to distance myself. Thank you, James. I love you. So it's kind of hard, and especially being an extrovert and I process externally, it's been really weird not having that fallback plan, which was originally my family. We've moved around a lot, so as a kid, so there was a lot of times when we would show up at a location and we would be each other's best friend because we didn't have anyone else. So this is kind of a really weird time to have that dissonance. So a lot of it has been spent challenging the reality I was given by my youth versus the reality that I'm seeing unfold in front of me. So there's been a lot of learning there, and some of it's been very infuriating, to say the least, right? As I've been talking with our family counselor a lot on these side pieces and just holding those conversations of like, how do I handle this situation and how do I talk? How do I process it appropriately? That type of thing. So with that all happening in the background, I've been working very hard to try to schedule when I have the ability to like schedule gaming sessions and stuff like that. And I feel like I'm kind of coming out of like that fog, that valley, within the past couple months, which has really been nice. But one of the things that I did do over the summer when I had some of my high points was first I started an LLC, specifically to the point. So the LLC is called Instacode, and I officially registered it with the state of Minnesota. And my intention to do with Instacode is to attack a very specific area of kind of like app development. Specifically, we see like to-do apps that talk about getting shit done, right? Like, how much shit did I get done and stuff like that? And if you think about to-do apps, if you fail to cross items off your list, don't you feel kind of shitty about it? like it feels kind of crappy. Like the satisfaction of checking or like fulfilling your checklist and whatnot has a lot of satisfaction to it. But also the to-do list doesn't really take into account of how you are doing.
Sure.
So my thought process behind this is that I want to develop an app that that allows people to talk about how they are doing and take into account when they are talking about their productivity. And depending on what I can get away with in terms of like the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, the PG name will be Spoon. The not PG name will be spelled F-U-X or Fux. And the thought process is that I want to allow people to assess how many fucks or how many spoons they have left in their day. I'm kind of passionate about this. I see Sarah dealing with, she introduced me to Spoon Theory. And I love her so much for normalizing that concept. That's okay to not be okay. And I want to create an app that kind of fills in that blank. So take some of my frustration of not having enough spoons and not being able to solve the world's problems and kind of give a little bit back. And I'm hoping that spoons will allow me to start doing that. And that's kind of where my energy and some of my crafting and my creativity is kind of going to. It's allowing me to learn in areas that I'm not good at. I am not a make it pretty person. I am definitely a person where if you want to look pretty, I'm probably not the guy to do it. But if you want something really cool to happen after you hit that, like that submit button or something like that, I got you covered. Mm-hmm. So it's expanding me, but at the same time, Sarah is my primary focus. She always feels like she needs to be hyper productive, and then she burns out on, she uses up all of her spoons. And I think that if she could actually have that data, like quantitatively rather than qualitatively, have that data available, it would allow her to better plan her day and to better execute her like self well-being. Because she already deals with depression and anxiety, and we're heading into the winter, which is the roughest. Jenna, you are just holding something in. You look like you're gonna pop.
Oh my! No, you don't understand. As a project manager with mental illness issues like depression, anxiety, cyclothymia, mania, PTSD, I could start throwing out so many letters right now. But like, as a project manager who has a huge focus within my teams and everything else on mental health and what capacity actually means in the human world as opposed to just the resource world. Right. I am like 15 different shades of, oh my God, yes, please.
Well, and like, especially in times of COVID, it wasn't until I started understanding personally how spoons affected me until COVID happened. Going to the workplace is my extrovert outlet. I have a lot of people that look up to me, and I get that opportunity to grow my juniors and to get that satisfaction there and to be socializing there. Same thing with the podcast. Like, because we've been on hiatus, we don't have that regularly. We don't have that regular extrovert time. So I'm having to take more time to schedule those interactions when they were just worked into my schedule. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, and I mean, I like doing this online stuff, but it's not the same as being in the same room.
It's not.
Yeah. And that's been one of the hard things is that people talk about like, hey, we can always get together and, you know, talk in Discord. I'm like, yeah, but like, I want to be able to give you a hug. Like, I want to see the smile on your face first person. I want to hear the inflection in your voice, not computerized. Like, there are there are components that social distancing just don't provide. And and I didn't really understand how much of a toll that took until we got into lock. And it's one of those things where I feel that they're, like Jenna was saying, it's like people don't recognize, especially in the business world, like we are so numb to it. I can definitely say from being a remote worker and having clients on West Coast and East Coast and stuff like that, my job hasn't changed. In fact, it's probably actually gotten worse in terms of my well-being because boundaries aren't respected. Like my lunchtime is analogous right now. It depends on when I can fit it in, not necessarily when I when I walk away from my desk, because that's not really an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something that a lot of the audience doesn't really understand about podcasting. And that's when we're talking about something that is very like that's engaging or can be a bit heavier. The audience will hear the people that are talking, the people that are filling the air. Sometimes what they don't see is the host, like what they will never know is the host that really hits hard, and they just kind of sit back and you can see on their face like this was a lot for them, so the other two are going to talk until they're ready to talk again. That's something that you only get in person.
Yeah.
That's something you don't really experience as much through like a phone call or Zoom or a Discord or things like that. Like Zoom and Discord have definitely helped. Like this would be so much harder without it. But it's a poor substitute for actual face-to-face time with your friends, especially scheduled weekly when you have a crazy schedule that you can barely keep up with and you have this social time that's just always there.
I remember at the beginning of all of this, gestures at everything. I was talking with Joe about why we need to be able to FaceTime when we're recording a podcast and how do we go about that. Mm-hmm. And Joe's like, well, why don't you just do a conference call? And I'm like, oh sweetie, no. I need to be able to make eye contact to see where Salsa's at with a particular in emotional rant he's doing. I need to be able to do this at James to get him to fucking wrap it up. I need to be able to physically show to my co-hosts where we're at and have them show to me in return. Like the visual aspect is something you don't get in the audio cast, but the visual aspect is still definitely a part of podcasting.
Should I pull back the curtain a little bit?
Isn't that your MO now?
I would like to show the audience.
I have a couple signs here at my desk that I just have available that I have since made since we have started doing this, online. When we were all in the same room, the level of nonverbal communication going on, you have no fucking clue. But I just want to show you, I made a couple signs here because I use them all the time. The first one is pretty simple. The first one is just a 5-minute warning. I show the 5-minute warning while we're talking. James and Jenna give me a nod or a thumbs up and we're all good. I have had to use this one a few times. This one has come up.
Usually about the 10-minute mark.
Yep.
I was going to say, how long do you hold the 5-minute warning
this one,
if James notices it?
This one usually is because of James. But the level of nonverbal communication that happens in these things is
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even count the number of times where, because when we were doing a high five for a while, we had whiteboards that I picked up. So it was an easy thing just to jot things down. So we just had them the whole time and you could easily just write a quick note or things like that. I can't even count how many times one of us.
Go ahead. Gentlemen, we need to steal the whiteboard idea from Eric. Okay, go.
That's fair. They're cheap and it's easy. How many times we've been sitting there and one of us has been like, oh, you know, so you've been dealing with this lately, right? And then the person's like, yeah, you know, it's not a real big deal. It's total, and just completely deflects while they hold up, like, written on a whiteboard. Nope. And just like, yeah, no, it's not a big deal. It's totally fine. And then we just change the subject to move on because someone's like, yeah, I'm not talking about this right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I need a nope sign for salsa. Hold on.
Right. Make
there
a note
so many
that.
Things I've talked about.
Birthday gift. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Whiteboards all around. That's what's happening. Okay. Anyway.
Awesome. Great. Jason, what is this product? How can I have it or help to have it or help to make it? Or can I give you anything to have or make it go, this thing that exists, that should exist, that might not exist yet? I want it.
So,
I want it in the reality verse.
So the plan is I got access to special Apple hardware that is not available to the public yet. So I have been, I know, ooh la la. Yep, no big deal. In all fairness, I chucked enough money at them and they gave it to me. So
that's how these things work, yes.
I did have to go through an application process and convince them that it was worth their time. But my intention is to try to bring it as many places as I can. I know how to code for Android. I know how to code for the entire Mac ecosystem. And I want to bring it everywhere because that's the big thing. That's one of the big things. So I have the technical know-how. The things I do need is I need people to tell me my baby is ugly. And
if you're asking for beta testers, by all means.
Oh
yeah. I would. Totally
money.
Yeah.
I will tell you, in one sentence, that your baby is ugly, your baby is beautiful, your baby is kind of blasé, your baby has no idea what it's talking about, your baby is a genius, and that your baby needs to get rid of its fucking pacifier. I will do that all for you.
I don't think Toby's going to be a good beta tester for this. I'm just putting it out there.
No.
I don't think that's going to go over well.
So cute.
To be fair, a cat will not pull punches.
That's 100%
accurate. I just
accurate,
don't
actually.
Think that this is the app that's going to really measure what they need.
Well, they don't need to measure what they need. They just take it.
Also that.
Yeah.
I'm going to interject right now.
Yep.
And say
what?
It is 9:30, and so what we're going to do is I know. Okay. Hey, everybody. How about a fast Dr. five? Nick.
Fast five.
All right, this is what we're going to do. I am going to let the conversation continue for a little bit longer, but what I want all of you, dear listeners, to do is each one of you gets one question. All right, what you'll do is you'll drop your you drop your choices into the chat. Okay?
What?
I'll
give you about 5 minutes to drop your choices into the chat. Once you hear,
my God, yeah,
you say the choices, so everybody starts talking about it. Then drop your context into the chat, and we'll get to that. But I'll give you just a few minutes now. Drop those into the chat, and we'll do this fucking live. All right.
And first things first, Troy DeTroy is starting a fucking fight.
And he's a troll. He's a
all right.
fucking
okay
troll.
That, but everybody gets
you,
one.
Sorry.
Everybody gets one. You get one. Everybody gets one. Mav, you get
right.
fucking one. I don't care if he's even
so
here.
Troy,
how many emails should
Troy,
he send in?
Troy, if you redo that, then the redo is your actual choice, not that. Okay? You get one.
I feel like he's been thinking about this.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
And on what's left of his mind,
we'll let that you know simmer for a minute. But I just
also, as an aside, Troy, I will take your honey, and yes, that will end our feud. Thank you very much.
I will absolutely take some honey and some wax as well. So James, yeah. I don't know if James remembers, But when we worked at the same company, the second company that we both worked at, not the first company that we both worked at.
I worked at that company.
Yeah, long ago.
Before you guys, because I'm OG hipster.
We talked about having a gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
And GAS was an acronym for give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a gas tank that mm-hmm. said how much you gave a shit. And so it very similar to spoons, very similar to how many fucks you give. It's just how full mm-hmm. is your gas tank right now?
I like that.
So, I mean, if that's something you want to use, by all means, use it. I'm just throwing that out there. But that's another way that we thought of it, is having this gas tank that was some days full and some days just like, we would come in and be like, my gas tank is empty. I don't care. So
because somebody said, you know, it is great that the rest of the world is understanding that you can be low on spoons and what that means, mm-hmm. But that a lot of people are co-opting it for things, you know, in a really similar way to people saying like, oh, I make sure that all of my silverware is in the correct position in the drawer because I'm really OCD, you know? And it's like,
I was going to go with triggered, but sure.
Yeah, that's fucking, another one.
Are you? Yeah. But the thing where, yeah, people overuse a term and it starts to lose all fucking meaning. Someone quite a while ago had said that something similar was happening with spoons and encouraged people to come up with their own way to say it. And so for me, aside from gas tank, from where we work together, the one that I came up with is low on mana. Like low on magic power.
Yeah. One of the things that I want to I plan on putting in the app is that you can define your unit of measure, right?
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
I mean,
that's fucking awesome, Jenna.
I really, really want to add here. I feel like currently the world is going through a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like there are some people that are like, oh, spoons, I get it now, right? Because they haven't had that previous experience with depression mm-hmm. specifically, but like other forms of mental fun. It's all fun now, whatever, mental fun.
Yeah.
that affects somebody outside of the normative, right? So like, I feel like on the one hand, there are an awful lot of people that are starting to understand spoons because this is the first time they've really experienced spoon.
Right.
So there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to invalidate somebody's spoon experience. On the other hand, I don't want somebody to decide that what they're experiencing is a spoon experience when that's not actually what they're experiencing, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a difficult line to walk because,
right.
With the people who are like, oh, I'm OCD. And it's like, no, you're not. You just like things to be orderly. You're not like forced to wash your hands 12 times before you go to bed. It's a very different thing. I think the concept of running out of spoons shows a certain level of understanding, because I think the level of understanding about OCD is very different from saying you're out of spoons, having understood what spoons means. I think there is a difference, and I'm not arguing for people that live that a lot, but I know there are times where I have been out of spoons, and that is very rare for me. And it's not mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
it's not like, yeah. you know, I have a constant, like a disorder or a mental thing or any medical misalignment or anything like that, that makes it a common occurrence. But there have been times where it's been like, there's a month and I just can't do anything. And I can't bring myself to do anything. And I'm in like a depressive episode. And it doesn't happen often, but I think it happens to people. And especially, like you said, with the world right now being in a traumatic experience, that's something that I think people who maybe only had a cursory understanding of the whole spoons thing may be finding themselves in situations where they are out of spoons because their normal things for recharge and their normal things for coping are social. And that's a big thing for me. Like, I'm used to getting up on a stage and making people laugh, and it's not the same doing that through Zoom. I can't hear anyone laugh. I don't get that adrenaline or that rush. I just get all the anxiety that goes with stage fright. Fucking payoff.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing. So I think there's a weird balance there, because there's a point where you can be like, oh, you obsess about things being in their right spot. I do that too. And it's like, no, you don't. Versus the idea of spoons and running out and just not being able to bring yourself to do a task. But since that's a very personal thing about how many spoons you have and the tasks you can do, I think that's an easier thing for people to relate to and process.
Yeah.
And I will 100% agree with that I had no idea. I saw Sarah go through it. So this brainstorming happened well before, or the idea came way before COVID started, but COVID allowed me to start experience because of those social avenues that I no longer have. But the other area of help for that app is that everyone's spoon experience and impact of what spoons do to them, is different. So having people to represent that use case and that user base and tell me where I'm wrong and how I'm thinking about stuff wrong, especially when I'm still learning about these concepts myself. And it took an extraordinary, there you go, Jenna, an extraordinary situation to start having me like have a way to relate on a more personal basis is, I just need more. I need more data. Like trying to quantify a qualitative asset is such a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. Oh, honey, I am here for you.
I want help. I want help. This is not a thing I can do on my own.
In all of the ways, where did James go? What the fuck?
Yeah, we lost James.
That's not good. That's not good. Oh shit. Oh, God, no, that's not good.
He's coming back.
Okay. Oh, God.
The other major point that we kind of, like, hit, and I just want to briefly touch it, is, like, the purpose of the app is not for you to end your day with zero spoons, like nominal spoons. Like, oh, I plus one enough. I haven't plussed enough to make up for my minuses, that type of thing. The whole point is to allow people to realize that they are exiting their day with no spoons or even negative spoon. Because that's what I tell Sarah is, like, if you overtax yourself on Thursday, it means that you're ending... You're already using like rubber scrapers to eat your ramen noodles. Like you're making adjustments because of the fact that you overtaxed yourself the day before. So I'm just trying. I figure that the more data we have in front of us, the better that we can start taking care of ourselves. And that's something that I don't see a lot in these productivity apps. We don't start assessing our personal well-being.
Jason.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Jason, is there a way that we, AON, and we, the AON listeners, can assist you with that? Do you need beta testers? Do you need data points? Is there something we can all do to help?
So once I get something ready for perusal, like, it'll be a situation where stuff will be super duper basic and broken, but I just want to know how it fits inside of people's lives. I need idea. I have a huge mind map of things that I can do on a technical level, but the big piece is the use cases. Like, where does this fit into your life? Because I'm one person and I'm...
All right.
I'm one person and Sarah, my wife, is another example, but the more people I can accommodate, it means the more people I can help.
Well, I tell you what, we should move on because we are getting later in the evening. We will definitely talk offline. Let us know how we can help. Let us know if there is anything that we can pass on to our listeners and have them help you out. Because this sounds like a truly worthwhile thing. And now comes the uncomfortable, you know, moment where me as the moderator gets to go, okay, we're going to go from a really heavy topic to jokes. But we're going to do that because we should do a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Fast Five! Do we have James back? Is James back?
James is back.
He looks pensive. I only have a frozen James.
He looks frozen.
How's that moving?
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, no.
Uh-oh.
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
That was actually a really good look. Right, I wasn't that
bad. So, people
James,
have been...
say Fast Five.
Fast Five. There we go. Okay.
Brilliant.
Got it. Right, we got it. We'll finish it in post, guys.
Like I said earlier, what we're going to do is I am going to say your Fast Five. Once you hear your Fast Five, give us the context in the chat, and then I'll get to that. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to go through this right now. Question... fucking everybody knows how this works. Okay.
Wait, do you have the dinger? Do you have the dinger?
I have the dinger. Of course I have the dinger. All right.
Okay.
Oh, this is the audience's first time seeing it.
I know. It's very impressive, you guys.
Yeah.
You all thought it was this giant 5'2" by 4" machine that just cranked out sounds.
If Salsa's showing off his dinger, I went out.
My ding-a-ling.
To be fair, I didn't talk to that dinger a long time ago.
Gotta bring this back. Gotta bring this back. Okay. Question number one.
That's it.
This question comes to
I'm
us
happy,
from.
But that's it.
This question comes to us from Troy to Troy.
Troy to Troy, Troy to Troy, Troy to Troy.
Thank you. Barker or talker? Obviously, the answer is talker, but
if it's what would be a better
so also give us a better.
All right, so the barker is somebody who would work in a one of the games concession stand who would basically regurgitate the same lines over and over and over. There was no
step
thought.
Up, win a prize.
No thought
throw
process.
A ball
it's,
at it's, the
shut up, James. There's a you're basically there's a script that generations of people have crossed down, and they know these are the lines that work, and you're just constantly regurgitating the same lines over and over. There's no thought process. It's just words. A talker is somebody who is actually talking, who is thinking, okay, come up and see the look at how wonderful this person is doing the thing, and now we're going to move on to the fire eater, and the fire eater is going to do the trick. Now, how old are you, how long have you been doing this fire trick, and how dangerous
so,
it is?
A talker is more interactive. As
a talker is more
the
interactive.
NPC. The NPC Barker has like 5 fucking lines they can give you, and that's it.
They have chirps,
the
yeah.
The talker is more of an AI that can build in what's happening around them and include
because,
that in
exactly.
their...
Exactly. The barker's regurgitating lines. What the talker has to do is the talker has to not only talk and build interest, but they need to watch the crowd, and they need to watch the crowd and find that moment when the crowd's interest is at just the right moment to they call turn the tip. What it's you've got the crowd of people built up in front of you, and now what you need to do is you need to turn that crowd into paying people, and that's called turning the tip. Mm. It's now that I've got you gathered, how many can I get you to buy a ticket? How many can I turn the tip and get you in the door? And if you do that too soon, people are going to know I've lost interest and walk away. And if you do too late, then people have lost interest and walked away. So you got to find that moment.
Okay.
You got to really mm-hmm. feel out the crowd and go, okay, I'm getting them worked up. I'm working up. I'm working up. Now we've got a nice, you know, foment going. And now I'm turning the tip. Now go inside. Now see the show.
I love Paz. I love how much jargon you used in explaining that particular piece of jargon. I am so happy, and I don't want further explanation. I'm just very happy that that happened.
You have changed my mind. I'm going with Talker because I am a talker.
Oh, I'm going with Barker. Are you kidding me? I love getting in front of a crowd and interacting with them just enough to be able to pull them into whatever's. Yeah.
But given fair, who asked
Bob
the question.
Talker is a poor game show host.
Given who asked the question, do you really think he's just going to ask what we are?
I don't care.
I really... Here's the thing. I don't care what the context is. I refuse when Troy asks to say Barker. That's not going to happen.
I think the question is going to end up being, what do you think James would be better at?
Hawking.
Oh no.
Which is
time travel.
Yep.
Time travel? Okay. I'm not crazy.
So even when I was set up for my first year of Hawking, I was 16 years old at the Renfest. And I was, you know, some really basic bullshit lines to deliver about how good the food is and, you know, why people should buy it and all of that stuff. I still made up my own lines. I still made up my own stuff. Mm-hmm. I still drew people in with my own bits and everything like that. Like, if there was a line of people and someone was like, well, I would, but the lines are too long, I would pick the person that I thought would be a woman. And I'd be like, got a secret. And I would like run up toward the front of the line, like 2/3 of the line. And I'd be like, hey, would it be okay if she came in front of the line and just budged in front of you? And that person would be like, oh, yeah. And then her entire group, I would move like 6 or 7 people in because I'm an idiot and cruel and terrible. So, you know, making up my own games, making up my own Hawking and everything like that. I did all of that right away. And because
is that
just regurgitating somebody else's lines is boring.
Salsa, is that the same thing?
I think the difference.
I'm asking Salsa. He's the expert.
No, but the difference really comes back.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
A Barker can definitely come up with their own original lines, but really the difference comes down to, are they interacting with the people on a conscious, you know, when they choose to say a line, when they choose to make, when they, as opposed to just, you know, I came up with a bit and now I'm going to do the bit every time that this situation happens. There's a trigger and there's a response. There's a trigger and there's a response. That's more of a Barker thing, whereas a talker really has to make decisions on the fly of when is the best time to do this? When is the most opportune moment to make that decision? There's really a conscious choice going on. So I think that's really the difference.
Mm-hmm. I'm answering this question.
Oh.
Okay.
Bree is not a Barker or a talker. Bree is a puppet.
And that is entirely fair. But the question is Barker or talker.
You can't argue with Bree.
Yeah, it's A or B, not A.
I feel like of the two puppets would be.
Did I bore Eric? What the hell just happened?
Oh, he just doesn't like you anymore, Salsa.
Yeah,
Jason,
I love you on a very personal level.
That's fair, Jason.
Very personal level.
Answer the question.
So I'm definitely a talker. I don't like talking at people. I drive off of energy of the conversation, as we just saw. So that's kind of my thing. I feed off of other people's energy because I'm a goddamn vampire, and that just works for me. Like, if there were dates in the past where I had to drag the conversation out of the other person, and I hated the entire date.
I have a story to share, but I know we're running low on time. I don't.
Jenna had a date like that.
I literally had a date like that once. More than once. So many more than once. You guys learn how to fucking answer a goddamn question.
Okay. Question number two. This question comes to us from Stefan. And now I need price you all. Stefan asks,
what are they gossiping about us while we're not looking?
So much is happening in the chat. Stefan says, nose or teeth?
Okay, so here's the thing. 56
either
hurt more.
Easier to replace your teeth than your nose.
It's true.
It is. Point. I have both a deviated septum and I've had to have a lot of cauterization on the inside of my nose. My nose has been giving me issues all my life. My teeth have also been giving me issues all my life because they're assholes and they like rotting, apparently. I went to a dental hygienist. Just like, yep, some people just have shitty teeth. Great. Anyway. Between the two, I would rather have my teeth than have my nose. I'm okay with not being able to taste anything. Sometimes I can't taste anything anyways. It's fine. But chewing on an apple isn't a thing I do often anymore. 'Cause ouch. And I would love to be able to just chomp down on things. So I'm going to go teeth.
One of my favorite foods is soup, but I also, like, it's very important to me to be able to smell foods. So I'm going to go with nose.
See, I don't think this is a sense question, because I feel like if it was a taste or a smell thing, then it would have been tongue, not teeth. So
I mean, maybe.
My gut says it's
I
not
did say...
smell.
But, yeah, like, if you got punched in the teeth or the nose.
Oh,
right.
That's
I wasn't about taste in mine. I was about
no.
ability to chomp down on.
Right. I was in reference to James's answer.
Oh, so you think James
I would
is
rather
an idiot.
Be
That's
punched
cool.
in James. Well, that's fucking nothing new. I think I'd rather be punched in the nose than the teeth. Like, the teeth loss nightmare thing. That's something a lot of people go through.
If somebody punched me in the teeth, I might be able to claim it against their insurance and get a whole new mouth of working teeth. I'm good with that.
I think a broken nose would improve my appearance.
I think I would rather have a broken nose than a broken tooth.
As somebody who has had broken teeth, I will say you are probably accurate, because that's something that you have to go get replaced from time to time.
Yeah, but then I'd have a chance
I have
of biting them.
That's fair. I'm going to go with, as a father, which would Salsa prefer that Lilibeth breaks during hockey?
That could be.
And I'm gonna go with nose, because a nose is something that heals and then is fine.
No, you're wrong.
Teeth is a lifelong thing. As somebody who has a mom for a dental hygienist, teeth is a lifelong thing.
No, I know, but I would brag about that shit for her entire life.
How many permanent teeth does Lilibeth have? Because if she still has a lot of kid teeth, then fuck it, knock them the shit out. There are adult teeth coming.
Yeah,
right.
One of the proudest days of my entire fatherhood was last year at hockey practice. Lilibeth had a loose tooth, and it was bothering her at hockey practice. And she skates over to the bench where I'm at, and she's like, "This is bothering me. Can you pull it out?" And I'm on the bench. We're at hockey practice. I reach into her mouth. I yank her tooth out with my hands. She goes, "Thanks, Papa." Sticks her mouth guard back in and goes back to practice. I was the happiest fucking Papa.
Yeah, that is best dad moment ever. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was my hockey dad moment.
Well, that's a bad fucking
I know.
Ass.
I was just like, I cannot top this moment.
You have peaked.
It's all downhill from here.
Now you're just yelling, who the fuck is this kid at her hockey practice?
From the car outside.
Has everybody answered? Jason, have you answered?
I'm going to go with nose. I'm expecting that there's going to be something about bodily damage, and I'm hoping to get rid of the nose.
Just get it out of here.
All right, is that everybody?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
All right. By the way, today's Fast Five comes to us from Ruffino Rosé Champagne.
Yes,
I'm on a zero champagne.
All right.
I've been here for 500 episodes. I get 3 fucking champagnes.
Me.
All right, Quentin.
Yes. I thought that's why we let you wear the polo shirt.
Nobody lets me wear the polo shirt.
Jenna, we don't want to see his nipples. This is a live stream.
Question number 3. Right, question number 3 comes to us from Mary. And Mary says,
yay, Mary.
Motherfucker, red or green?
Red.
I assume this is your mother-in-law, Mary.
Yes, this is my mother-in-law, Mary. So I'm going
yes.
And now I'll let the rest of you talk about
red.
It.
Okay. Side note, I have known Salsa's mother-in-law since I was like 5 or something. So I'm so happy, and thank you, Mary. I am going to go red, which is my preferred overall color, although I think I look better in green. No, I'm going red.
All right.
Stay with me here. I believe the question... Oh, go ahead. Time traveling,
James.
I'm going
to choose green. Okay. I was going to say... I'm going to choose green because I am almost always Luigi. I grew up being the little brother, the second player. So
which is red, which is green.
You know, instead of Mario.
Oh, my God.
So legitimately,
Mario is red, Luigi is
I'm
green.
I'm changing my answer to red.
I'm going to say that the question is, which means stop? And I'm going to pick green in hopes of confusing Salsa.
Fuck.
Oh. I am so happy right now.
Who hasn't answered?
Nope.
No,
Bree answered right away.
Yeah.
So that I'm green.
Bree.
Green.
Oh.
My entire damn room is it.
All right. That's fair.
That's fair.
Fair. All right. Okay, here we go. Oh, I found it. Okay. Question number 4. Question number 4 comes to us from...
That's fair. Yeah. Figured so that
shut
that
up,
was...
James.
Question
number
4 comes to flying aliens.
Jenna's brother, Steve.
Yay, Steve!
And
I love you, baby bro.
Steve says oak or maple.
Mm.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Which syrup would you prefer? Maple.
Nope.
I want to try oak syrup now.
oak.
I'm going
Yeah.
So I have a thing for oak. That having been said, maple is so much easier to work with because it's softer. But I got to go with oak.
See, okay. If I could have a new Ashiko drum made for me, I think it would be out of maple. And like, if I could have a sign over my door, I think it would be oak. I think... I think I'm going to go maple.
Okay.
Maple is an overall more useful tree.
Mm-hmm.
if it's that's fair. If it is, which fall leaves do you prefer? I think,
and see if it's like which seeing, wood do you want your wand to be made out of? Oak was very unbending, and so I'd prefer maple in that circumstance.
Hmm.
So I'm gonna go with maple.
Good call.
I'll go with maple because I love pancakes.
Yes, that's a good reason.
That is obviously that's the best answer. I don't even know why I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Question number five. Question number five comes to us from Sean Petre. Ha ha ha. Question number five, Sean Petre says hard or soft? Hard. Hard.
I think Jenna is skipping.
Jenna hard has cider, several dates like that. If it's lemonade or cider or something like that.
Yeah, like I love soft lemonade. Although I like
I think I usually like drink hard cider and hard whiskey, lemonade more
so
than I drink.
I make it hard
cider and lemonade.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
At this point, if I'm going to have a birthday party, I would prefer that it is super soft.
Did you have a date like that? Go with that?
That's fair.
Yes.
That was a joke for a handful of people. Oh God, not again!
Yeah. Like a super hard birthday party for you. Would
I do
be
want a super
mother.
Soft birthday party. That would be adorable.
Super soft birthday party does sound like a thing that I would be into.
Right?
Have you seen Letterkenny? Salsa?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. There is an episode where they throw a super soft birthday party for one of their friends every year. And they do things like
cupcake decorating station.
Station where they decorate cupcakes, and let's get a pony that we can then put a horn on to make it a unicorn, and it's basically just like, fuck it, we're having this like
glittery this, sparkle party.
Yeah. And we don't give a fuck who knows.
This sounds right. Okay to me.
Yeah. And I think it's a lovely it's a lovely thing in this show that is hilarious and wonderful. That's just like, you know, fuck all those things about toxic masculinity. We're just gonna have this super soft birthday party for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep. 10 ply.
That's what I'm going with.
All right.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
I'm going
hard
with soft. I really enjoy the tactileness. I'm a very tactile individual. So like, you know, soft bed sheets, a very squishy pillow, like that type of thing. I'm all about that.
Oh, fuck.
Damn it. Am I the only one that went hard then?
No, I prefer a firm mattress and a firm pillow to a super squishy get locked in it one. So I'll choose that.
Okay.
I'll be with you. We can be hard.
Oh God! Wait! I was hard and now I'm not.
All right. How about some context?
Now you're soft and dry.
Just like this champagne I'm drinking. Anyway.
Right. Context.
Question number one from Troy. Barker or talker? The context have we in the chat here. Going to, and we say, you are on a walk through the woods. Would you rather have a dog or a person as a companion?
I want a person. I picked right.
I'm going talker.
I want a
talker,
not a barker.
I want
me
a person.
Too.
So nose.
Mostly
or
I'm allergic to dogs, so.
you
also,
know,
I'm allergic to some people, so.
I've been bathing more often, Jenna.
Also, would choose to be with another person.
That's not
this. This is actually a tough one for me because honestly, like, given the time right now, I think I would prefer to be with a person. Although, if it wasn't a pandemic, I might prefer to be with a dog.
That's fair.
So I guess I'm going to stick with Talker just because the times we're in.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. For you, Jason?
I the Talker said mine works right, yeah.
For me.
All right.
Yep.
Oh, that happened at the same time.
Yeah, I got it did. Confused. That's what? Okay. Yeah. All right. Question number two.
I don't know what happened.
All right.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Did Jenna just Jewish grandmother ups? No, it's fine. I'll be fine. Talker. I'll just sit here.
I believe you mean Catholic mom, and I'm not even Catholic, so.
Fair enough. Whatever. Bree, Jason,
what
were your
mommed answer? Your asses, all right?
I said Talker was absolutely what I would go with. I need people company.
Jason?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same way. I enjoy a person's company. While I have plenty of animals around me.
Look, if you took your pug into the woods, I don't think you'd come back with a pug.
No, he's an asshole.
All right,
I could
Jenna.
Maybe take my cat Jack for a walk in the woods, but...
Jenna, you happy now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Question number two.
I want to make sure all voices are heard.
Question number two from Stefan. Nose or teeth? Not the context. What the hell? Okay. He says, not the context, but when I was 12, I got hit in the face with a baseball right above my front teeth, so both my teeth and my nose were injured.
Oh, no.
That sucks. I'm sorry. Now we get to the context. What currently covered part of people's masked faces do you think you'll focus on once we can talk face-to-face mask-free again?
Mm-hmm.
Mouth.
So teeth, yeah. I think teeth. Will...
Because I already see enough people's noses not under masks.
Mouth.
So, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, mouth, teeth, teeth for me.
Yeah.
Yep. So being raised with a mom as a dental hygienist meant that every time we were watching something on TV and somebody had bad teeth, she would comment on their teeth.
Oh, no.
Which means now I cannot... not see people.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Like, it,
I'm really sorry.
When I see people who have bad teeth, and I'm just like, oh, God. And it's nothing against them. And I have no problem with them or anything. I just always notice it. It's a thing that I was raised to notice, and I will always notice, and it drives me insane.
My mother was a music teacher, so whenever anybody sings on TV, I just go, ugh, I know your pain.
I'm sorry, Eric. I have seen so many dentists and hygienists and everything else, and this is just happening. So
it is what it is.
There are some things that I think are really cute, like if somebody is slightly gapped toothed or if they have little vampire fangs, I think those are really cute. I would never...
James, stop just describing me.
Oh.
Nice. Well said.
Is that everybody? There's a lot of us, so it's hard to keep us all track. Okay, question number three, red or green, came from Mary. Mary's context says, context should be what is Salsa's favorite color. But the real context is, what is New Mexico's official state question? I wonder if that means color. What is New Mexico's official state color? Maybe. I don't know. It's possible it was a typo, and it's possible she's... really
I don't understand. I don't understand, but I'm still sticking with red.
The New Mexico's official state question.
I think, so, story time, real quick story time. When I found out that Salsa was colorblind and really started to process that, it made me deeply sad to think that he did not fully understand how beautiful red hair is. And I had that conversation with him.
No.
Salsa just found the same thing I did.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Is this serious?
This is really insidious.
Oh, shit.
No, no, get this.
New Mexico.
I go, okay. Mm-hmm. New Mexico is the first state to adopt a state question. And the state question of New Mexico is red or green.
Green. Yep.
The answer is red. I don't understand.
Still red.
That is the most insidious bullshit I've ever seen.
I have a few things to say on this. Number one, the answer is red, obviously. Number two, Mary, you have been a delightful influence in my upbringing.
There's
and,
more to
this. I love you forever is basically what it comes down to.
There's more to this, Bree.
There's more to this. So this question is referring to the question always asked whether one prefers red or green chili when ordering New Mexican cuisine. The measure was passed to signify the importance of the chili industry on the economy of the state. So technically, the question is red or green chili.
Well, in that case, red.
Red.
Yeah, red. I typically do red chili.
Oh.
I prefer.
Oh my God, James!
Yeah, I can agree with it. Like, there's a jalapeno verde from Andalay that, like, I would bathe in that if I could.
Fuck. That is probably one of the best Fast Five questions we have ever gotten.
Salsa verde,
that's
fucking beautiful.
Salsa. I believe the ultimate answer comes to you because salsa.
Which is not chili.
That's true. Eric is absolutely right. I prefer
red.
No,
it's a dance thing, but
yeah. All right. Shit.
I'll go with red.
Question number four came to us from Steve. Oak or maple? Favorite wood chip flavor for barbecue?
Ooh.
Maple.
Oak.
Especially, but not entirely, especially if the barbecue is pig-based.
I really have to switch to maple.
Yeah. Not maple will work for everything. Maple is especially good for pig-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I would
maple bacon.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll stick with maple.
Yeah, I'll stick with maple as well.
All right, good question.
I think you've convinced me.
I think I'll go maple. Right now.
You're allowed to disagree, Jay.
And you often do, so please don't let this stop you.
Right now, Jason is dreaming of barbecue pancakes.
I wasn't until you said that. Yeah. Now I am.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Question number five, hard or soft. Jean Pitre says, my context. What kind of games do you prefer to play with friends? Hard, i.e. hard copies, board games, or soft, i.e. software, video games?
Oh. I prefer to play hard board game style with my friends.
I agree.
I do video game. I sometimes video game with friends, but in general, if I'm video gaming, it is on an independent level. Very rarely do I actually video game with others. However, I will invite 50 people over to my house to play board games because board game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do it right now because COVID, but in the actual time.
And mice.
I'm going to have to switch my answer to hard for this one.
Eric is going to regret that.
No, I won't.
It is well documented how much I loathe playing video games across the internet. But I absolutely adore playing board games with friends. So I'm hard.
Salsa, question for you. Your options are an online multiplayer video game or Candyland.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh.
Ooh, buddy. Well played, High Five. Well played.
All right, it's taken 500 episodes, but you've gotten your revenge.
That's one down.
Do you two need to know?
Oh.
Three for the price of one.
Let's talk.
Bree, now's the time to steal his booze.
I'll be right back.
Oh, God.
I'm just hearing collisions and stuff from down there.
You guys, I thought we were going to make it through an entire episode, but we've already lost two co-hosts. So.
Yeah. No. I mean, I put my plan into action.
to the parents of intern Salta, he was a good intern and will be missed at the station.
Was that question number five?
I don't remember.
Was that the fifth question?
I wasn't paying enough attention.
I wasn't either.
I think it might be, but I don't remember.
I think so too.
I have to say that in general, I would really love playing video games with friends, but it's really hard to schedule our group of friends to be together for video games. And being together for video games is an easy thing to go, you know what, I had something come up, you're going to have to count me out tonight. Or,
God damn it, Bree, stay away from my booze! Get the fuck away from my booze!
Mine now!
It's mine. No, you can have the Malort. Take that.
Oh no.
No, you stay away.
Oh my God.
There was a point before all this where we had the discussion about how would Bree steal Salsa's booze, and everyone's like, no, that's not going to happen, and then we all had this moment of silence. Nobody discussed or planned anything, and here's where we're at.
I learned my lesson.
Oh my God. If you would like to send in a best five, please send two emails to salsa@aopodcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices. The second one, repeat those choices and then give us the context. Hey, everybody, who has a shout out?
I got a shout out. I have two shout outs, actually. Number one, shout out to me because it's my birthday.
Woo!
But like for actually though, shout out to everybody that came out to my birthday movie marathon thing, everybody that has posted something to my Facebook wall and actively broken my Facebook and wishing me congratulations and well wishes, because I literally cannot see all of the well wishes that have happened on my wall. And it is delightful and sweet and wonderful and makes me tear up a little bit. So also, thank you to everybody that sent me messages that have wished me happy birthdays in various forms. And to those people that I will still be interacting with later on in the week on further birthday excitement. I'm overwhelmed. You guys, like, I've gotten a lot of birthday stuff, and it's very sweet, and I don't know what to do with it because I was never taught emotional IQ on how to handle this. So, thank you.
Who's next?
Somebody else go. Oh, my God, it's awkward.
All right, I got one. I want to give a shout-out to the people who are getting by. This is just two people who... You know, this is beating a lot of people down. This is tough. And there are some days where you're like, you know, I didn't get anything done. I didn't make any progress. Nothing changed. I just barely got by. This shout out is for you because you are not alone. And right now, sometimes getting by is all we can do. So keep at it, because it matters. So keep getting by, and I'm going to try to do the same. Cheers.
Yeah.
And who's next?
I got one. So my shout out is to everyone on the screen and also the people in the chat. This was a really nice way to start, like wrap up the first Monday of a week, right? My heart is full. I got to laugh for a few hours and talk with good friends and whatnot. So that's, I always feel amazing when I have the opportunity to have a small piece of normalcy in this weird batshit that we're going through. So, thank you to everyone, because, I am overjoyed. I'm completely filled, and thank you.
I guess
I'll go next.
All right. I'll go next. I'm going to give my shout out to my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, because she passed the bar.
Yay!
I'm so proud of her.
Yep, we found out this morning my sister-in-law is a fucking lawyer.
Woo! She's an esquire.
She's an esquire. Yep.
She can squire you.
She will and has.
Ash Brown's blessed.
No, it has been a long road to get there, and she put in a fuck ton of work and blood, sweat, and tears, and she passed the bar. Congratulations. I don't know if she was on the stream earlier. I don't know if she still is, but either way.
She was burning her note cards.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I will second that. I want a second and third.
I raised my glass too.
I'm so happy for her. Cheers.
Same. Cheers.
I just want to give a shout out to everyone who has had the energy to support each other during all of this. Because like Eric was saying, it's a hard time for a lot of us right now. I know it hasn't exactly been the easiest couple of months for me, and all of the different ways we found, whether it's, you know, getting together over Zoom or sending each other meals or helping pay a bill when things are rough, like just shout out to everyone who's being there for each other. 'Cause I would not have had the strength to get through this last month without everyone's support. Yeah.
Anyone else? Are we done? Is that everyone? No, James?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah, we do have another co-host.
I don't think
Salsa.
We've ever done this before.
I can't. There's so many of you at this point. I have consumed a can and two bottles of champagne. I have lost all sense of meaning and time and who the fuck is talking.
They're small bottles.
Oh. It's James. James is talking.
Okay, say things, James.
You should be used to that. I want to give a shout out to all five of you. Thank you for giving me stuff to do, whether it's learning to knit or doing podcasts with you two, or
Oh no!
Oh no!
He's time traveling at the worst moment.
No.
You know, it was too sentimental.
Learning about streaming from Jason.
He's all for clubs right now.
He has no idea.
Eric has been inviting us to play video games, and I've been watching stuff with Bree, and I don't know if they can hear me. But like a whole.
James, you're back. Try again. Go.
Yeah. Okay. Say it again. Okay. Go for
it. Okay. Thank you to Salsa and Jenna for having this podcast with me. Having this every week has been deeply important to me. Thank you to Bree for watching shows with me and encouraging me to knit and be creative. And I just think that's wonderful. And thank you, Eric, for inviting me to play video games. I have really treasured that time. It has been very important. And Jason, thank you for your help with this and with everything else. The only thing at fault here is my internet connection, and definitely not you or your expertise. So, and thank you for chatting with me. I know that we message occasionally, but it's been very helpful.
I always look forward to it. Oh.
You were gonna say something. Wait, and James just walked away.
Yep. It's 10:30. We're gonna wrap this up. I just want to say thank you to everybody who is listening or has listened or has been here since day one, and there are a few of you, and it is truly deeply meaningful to me knowing that almost 11 years ago I had a stupid idea with a friend and we didn't know what the fuck we were doing, and here we are 500 episodes later getting together and hanging out with people that I love and I would do anything for. And it's a huge part of my life, and my life would not be the same thing that it is now without this show and all of you listening. So thank you so much for being there through all 500 episodes. And I have no more words to say other than eat the fucking cake.